are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Success and spirituality don't have to clash, but too often women are told to shrink, to apologize, or to hide their accomplishments. A woman walking in her calling isn't prideful, she's purposeful. All right, let's celebrate women who own their space, who lift others up, and who glorify God through the talents that He has entrusted to them. All right, we're trying to connect now with Sister Chipo to speak to us about this very important subject. We want to talk about why some women feel guilt or pressure about their professional or personal achievements. And we want to talk about how a woman can stay humble and yet confident in her success. And we want to talk about Proverbs 31. Hey, we know that woman, right? The Proverbs 31 woman. That woman has put us under pressure. Mrs. Proverbs 31. We've got pressure from our sister there. And but what does she teach us about ambition? What does she teach us about honoring God in our ambition? So many different questions that we want to delve into in our conversation with Sister Chipo. My sister, good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. So glad to have you on the show. And it's a very interesting subject that we're talking about. Success.
Yes.
What does success look like? How do we define it as Christian women? But before we get into that, why do you think some women feel so much guilt and pressure about their professional or personal achievements?
Hi, thank you so much. That's a very good one, because there are times I also feel guilty. I'm a career woman. Mm. So, you know, as women, we have certain expectations from society. Yeah. We're supposed to be taking care of our husbands, our children, our families when they're sick. We're supposed to be by the hospital taking care of them. And so there's that guilty that comes when you become so successful in your career. You feel like you have abandoned your family, if you feel you have abandoned your children, are they really okay? Am I doing enough taking care of my family? Yeah. So there's that guilty that comes in when you become so successful with your career. You feel like you have abandoned your primary calling.
Yes, yes. You have to choose one or the other.
You have to choose one or the other. And then yet all of them are so important. And so society expects us women to take care of the family, yet we are also supposed to be successful in our career. So there's that guilty that comes in, and it's very normal. Every woman feels that pressure. Am I doing enough as a career woman, and also enough taking care of my family? So societal expectations are what makes women feel very guilty about growing in their career.
Sure. So how do we break out of that? How do we break out of that guilt and that pressure?
We need to understand ourselves first.
Okay.
Can I handle both?
Mm-hmm.
And understanding what your priorities are.
Okay.
What do I want at the end of the day? So if I choose both, then I need to understand that balancing two will be very hard, but I have to find a way of balancing.
Okay.
If I have to go to school and leave my children, who is going to help me? So we need to ask for help. We need to be real as women.
Yes.
We need to ask for help. If I leave my children and go to school, who is going to take care of them? Is my husband willing to step in and help? Or am I going to call a relative to help me take care? So we need to seek help. Mm. We cannot do it all by ourselves.
Mm.
So it's possible to actually be successful in both, but we cannot do it by ourselves. We need to be humble enough to seek for help, even from the church. You know, there are times when you don't just need physical help, even just mental help.
Yes.
I need help. I'm not okay.
Yeah.
People you can talk to, people who can even connect you to maybe online courses so that you can focus on your family, or people who even can say, no, I can actually help with your children. I can be taking them to school so that you can focus on your academics. And the thing is, it doesn't take a whole century to finish academics. That's a certain period of time. So we can sacrifice for a certain period of time to focus on our career, but not abandon our families completely. We can seek help.
Yeah, yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Now, how can a woman stay humble? You talked about humility and the importance of it, because that's what allows you to ask for help, to reach out and admit that, hey, this is too much for me. How do we stay humble and yet confident still in our success?
So we need, and you know, it's very difficult actually to be humble when you are when you've become very successful. Imagine a woman becomes a prince or something. There's not, you know, you grow big headed and whatnot.
Yeah.
But we need to understand that we are not experts in everything.
Mm-hmm.
We are not experts in everything, and we can actually seek help from others. And you know, when you seek help from others, it actually shows humility. No one became an expert in all the fields. No.
Yes.
In as much as you become educated, you're still not an expert in that area. There are certain things that you still need help from.
Mm.
So we need to understand that we are not experts in everything. And also one thing that can help us is practice an attitude of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
We are where we are is because someone sacrificed for us.
Yes.
So there's no need of actually being big-headed and being proud and arrogant. No, we are where we are today because someone sacrificed for us.
Mm-hmm.
We may not see it, but someone placed us where we are.
Yeah.
And that should actually help us to be humble. We need to also be open about learning. We need to ask when we are not sure about things. And that will actually help us to be humble as women.
Beautiful. And I like that so much because I'm thinking about us in our African context, especially where you find that there are many people whose experience is, I am educated. My mother was not as educated as me. Her mother was less educated than her. But you find that we are all standing on the shoulders of the women who came before us, even the less educated, the challenges that they had to go through to make sure that our lives would be better. So it goes even beyond just my mother. Her mother and her mother, grandmother before that, and so many women before that, and the sacrifices that they had to make.
Yes.
Oh, man, that's a beautiful, beautiful point. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and you know, someone said, you know, we should not undermine the uneducated in our families. You know, when we go for funerals, there are those aunties who cannot contribute anything, but they are there to wash the dishes.
Yes.
The uncles, uneducated uncles, who are there to ensure that the animal has been slaughtered nicely.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So yet us, we cannot do it, but they are able to do it.
Mm.
So we always compliment one another.
Exactly.
We do not know it all. We stand on the shoulders of giants. We are where we are because our uneducated mothers actually sacrificed for us.
Yes, yes, so much.
When we come for work, the cleaners ensure that our offices are sparkling clean. We cannot do that, but yet they do that.
Yes. Oh, beautiful.
Our maids clean, ensure that our homes are look so organized, our children are clean and whatnot. They are doing that, which we are not able to do.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Now, what does Proverbs 31? Hey, this chapter is a tricky one.
Is this chapter? The Proverbs 31 women.
No, this one gives us, she keeps us up at night. But what does she teach us, this woman in Proverbs 31, about ambitious, God-honoring women?
This woman has actually been misunderstood.
Okay.
This woman, when you read the whole chapter so well, you realize that this woman is humble. Mm. This woman is not arrogant.
Okay.
She takes care of her neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
She takes care of her friends. In short, this woman puts others first.
Mm.
She's a career woman.
Okay.
She's busy. She's prayerful. She puts others first. She's hardworking. She is confident. So it's possible to be confident yet humble.
Okay.
This woman protects. In short, this woman doesn't go about gossiping. She protects other people's integrity.
Mm.
She cares about others. This woman is, you know, she's not the woman who says it's about me, me, me. No.
Mm-hmm.
She puts others first. Humility, putting others first. Looking at the interest of others. Have they eaten? Has my family? She doesn't look at her first, like I'm going to eat first. You know, self-love. We have actually misunderstood first self-love as well. No, it's about me. No. It's about saving others.
Mm-hmm.
And taking care of herself. And she gets fulfilled by taking care of others. So she teaches us to do nothing from our self-ambition, but to do everything in humility, looking at the interest of others.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what she's teaching us.
Sure.
She's successful yet humble, taking care of others and put others first. Her family comes first.
Mm.
Yet she's also successful in business.
Mm. Mm.
She does not abandon her family simply because she has become successful. No. Even if she's ambitious, she's successful, her family, her neighbors, her church members come first. Are they, you have the youth eaten at church?
Yeah.
Are the men eating? How are the women? How is the, is everyone successful in our church, in our community? Yes. She even teaches others about business.
Yes. Wow. Wow.
This is the Proverbs 31 woman. Ensuring that everyone is successful, teaches, protects, values everyone, humble, humility, everything.
Yeah.
She teaches us to put others first, even when we are successful, which is a very good spirit.
Yes, that's powerful. That's beautiful. And yeah. I really love that this chapter exists. I know we complain about her because many of us look at that and we think, hey, can I ever measure up? But I love that the Bible mentions all these things about this woman to show that a woman has been created to be multifaceted. You don't have to be just one thing. You can be everything that God has created you to be and be good at it. Because the other idea is that, yeah, sure, you can have the family and the ambition, but you can't do both with excellence. One of them has to suffer.
Yeah.
And exactly. And I love that this chapter is saying, no, you can actually excel at everything. Whatever thy hand findeth to do, the Bible tells us, do it with all your heart. So I love that. I love that. Yeah. But there's something
and
you
God
mentioned.
Gives us
grace. Continue.
Yes. God gives us grace. You know, there are times you wake up and you do so many things. Then at the end of the day, you're like, wait, how did I manage to do everything?
Yes.
There's certain grace that God has given us women. He has given us a certain spirit that just keeps us pushing from morning to evening and then sleep so peacefully, knowing that we have actually succeeded. And God is always by our side.
Beautiful.
There's
one thing that you mentioned there as you were talking about the lessons we learned from this woman. You talked about confidence and humility, and how those two sometimes are very difficult to coexist. To be confident, to know what you're capable of, but to still be humble. How do we do those? And then on top of that, caring for the community around you, sometimes we go so far as women that we stop caring for ourselves and we start burning out and we start becoming resentful and angry, like everyone else must do something. You can think of Martha in the Bible getting angry, like, can someone help me? Someone do something.
Yes.
How do we balance that? Taking care of the community, but making sure that I'm not burning myself out and also being confident and humble at the same time.
We need to identify other people who can do what we are able to do.
Okay.
We cannot do it all. And that's where mentorship comes in. When you identify people who are able to do what you do, you mentor them and ensure that they become so good, more than you. So that you do not have so many things to do. There are others who can do what we do, honey. And some people can actually do it better.
Better, yes.
You know, they've become so big-headed thinking that no one can do what I do. No. There are people who can do what we do.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Yes, it's just that we have not identified them. We need to recognize certain people in our church who can do what we do. You cannot be Sabbath school superintendent for 10 years. And you are singing in the, we are the lead in the choir.
Yeah.
You community service, you are there, everything. There are other people who can do what we do and actually do it better.
That's true.
Let us identify people. Let us mentor people so that our hands can actually be empty for ourselves, so that I do not burn out. Yes, you can actually be like Martha. You know, someone said, you know, let's not be a Martha. Let us be Mary in Martha's world. Being at the feet of Jesus, yet being busy as well.
Yes, be productive.
We need to prioritize devotion. Let us be at the feet of Jesus. When we are at the feet of Jesus, we'll complain less.
Yes.
But if we are in the kitchen all the time, we'll complain about those who are sitting at the feet of Jesus.
Hey. Sure.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
I can think of my own experience. One thing, I have two little girls, and for the longest time, especially before I started working, I just got used to doing everything myself in the house. And as the girls got older, you know, they would come and offer to help. Can I help you with this? And I would always say, no. Let me, I'll show you. One day I'll take time to show you how to do it. But I had this perfectionist mentality. Like, no, I'm the only one who knows how to do this thing.
Yeah.
I'm the only one who can do this. And if they do it, they won't get it right. And I can see the girls growing and I'm thinking, oh, one day they won't even want to help me. And it only took place now when I started working. I was busy. I didn't have the time to do everything that they started taking on more, you know, more roles and helping me around the house without my knowledge. So I'm away from home. When I come back, my husband has shown them how to do A, B, and C. And as time has gone on, they're getting better and better at the different tasks that they're given. And it's lightening my load so much. And I realized that I wasted so much time because I thought I had to do it all by myself. And because I thought I'm the only one who can do it. And not even the only one who can do the work itself, but I am the only one who can teach them how to do it. Only to find that my husband has shown them how to, you know, he's shown them the ropes in my absence, and it has helped so much. So that's definitely a lesson for me.
Yeah, and even at work, I realized that there are times when we want to do everything by ourselves.
Yes,
we need help from our colleagues. We can be humble enough to say, you know what, I am tired. I'm asking if you can do one or two things for me.
Yes.
It's possible. But the thing is, we are so insecure thinking when someone else does what we do, then they are going to get our positions. No.
Yeah.
We need to be so secure and be humble enough to know that we are replaceable. There's someone who can do our work.
Okay.
We are all replaceable. There are people who have actually died thinking they were not going to be replaced, but there are other people who replaced them, and the organization probably even did better.
Eish.
So we need to be humble enough to know that there are other people who can do what I do, and I just need to mentor them, especially the young ones in our church. Mm-hmm. We need to give them more responsibilities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we are so scared to say, you know, if I give them to become superintendent, then I'll never be the Sabbath school superintendent. I'll never be women ministries again. They're going to take up my role. Eventually, you will die and someone will take up your role.
Yeah, it's not going to die with you.
No, it's not going to die with you. So we need to be humble enough to know and teach others, like you mentioned. Your girls are actually now doing it. And now you have some time to spare and do one or two things for yourself.
Exactly, exactly.
You want to scrub the walls. You want to clean the stove. You want to clean the fridge.
Hey.
You want to dust everything. No, like chill, relax.
Yes.
Jesus already died for us. Why do you want to die again?
Eish. What a lesson. What a lesson for sure. I wish someone had told me about 3 years ago. I would have saved myself so much trouble. But anyway.
I know.
But you're talking about, you know, this fear and this insecurity that we might have. How do we support each other as women instead of competing? There's the spirit of competition sometimes, whether that's in church, in work, in family life. How do we support each other instead of competing?
You know, competition is very hard to fight.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, what works for me is celebrating other people's achievement.
Okay.
Those who are doing better than me. We need to be humble enough to go and learn, to go and ask, how are you doing it? Celebrating other people's achievement. You don't lose anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that way we learn to create opportunities for others as well to grow. So for us to have less competition, we also need to realize that there are certain things that we are able to do and others cannot do. You know, someone says God does not give anyone everything, but he gives everyone something.
Oh, love that.
So you need to identify what is it that God has given me and focus on it. And then help others to grow in what God has given you.
Mm-hmm.
That way you will be content with yourself.
Yeah.
But the spirit of competition comes in when we are less content with what God has given us. We want to focus on other people's blessings.
Mm.
So we need to focus on ourselves and knowing that we are not experts in everything, knowing that God has also given us something which we can use to bless others. That way, there will be less competition in the church. There are people who are naturally good with welcoming others. They have this beautiful smile.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then now you start forcing yourself as well. I want to be welcoming people. I want to be smiling so hard. Yet you do not have that gift of tenderness.
Exactly.
You will just have stroke at the end of the day, forcing yourself to smile. And so we need to identify the gifts that God has given us and embrace them. And teach others and create opportunities for others and also mentoring others so that we grow. God has not given us everything. He has given us something, all of us, that can help us to build each other together and grow. Imagine if God gave us the spirit of preaching, like all of us are preaching in the world. And then there's no one who's singing.
There's no one who's singing. There's no one who's welcoming.
There's no one who's praying. So we need to identify what is it that God has given me. Then when you realize that, you focus on it and embrace it, and then help others as well to identify the gift. So each one of us has a gift. We just need to help each other to identify what it is and mentor each other and grow. That's how we grow.
Yeah, love that. Now, what does it mean to define success by God's standard instead of society's standard? How does God define success?
In short, for me, success is a well-lived life. That's all I can say. It's a well-lived life according to God's will. That's it. You know, society defines success differently. Money. Houses. No, I'm building a house. You need to come and see my house. Oh, she has become so successful. She's a billionaire. No. To me, success is a well-lived life according to God's will. That's it.
Beautiful. I think that's a beautiful way for us to wrap it up. Any final words that you would share for the young women out there who are trying to define success according to God's standards and who are trying to balance everything, all the demands on their lives, struggling to make those boundaries and just live a balanced life? Final thoughts.
The young ladies should understand that success comes from God. There are people who have amassed so much wealth, but is God in it? So God gives us everything that we have. There's no need of looking up to people who have become so successful. Yes, we are supposed to be successful, but at the end of the day, is God in your success? You want to compete with someone you are not sure of how they amassed the wealth. So we need to put God in everything that we do. In success, God should be there in your academics, in your finances, in your relationships, and everything. God should be the center of everything. And they need to also understand that they cannot make it all by themselves. Those people back in the villages can actually help them to grow and be successful. The old women in the church, you know, those who wear the long dresses and whatnot, they can help us grow spiritually, in our education. Even if they haven't been to our school, they can help us. So they need to learn to be humble enough to seek guidance and seek help. We always need those who have the experience to help us. That's how we grow in our spiritual lives. That's how we grow in academics. That's how we grow in all spheres of life, seeking guidance from God and those who have lived our journey, those who have walked the path that we are walking today.
Beautiful. And what a beautiful conversation. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. I've enjoyed myself. Thank you so much for the invitation.
Me too.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Sister Chipo Chiokoma, with some beautiful words of wisdom there. God bless you.
Thank you so much and have a good day.
Amen.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.